In preparation for this morning, I reflected on some of the most positive experiences that I've had personally and professionally over the years. And I concluded that all of them have been painful. The most positive experience I've had have been the most painful. And men, I'm not a masochist. Believe me, I don't like to suffer. I was a young salesman in my late 20s in New York City, selling sophisticated management information systems. They were sophisticated back then. Let me see, when was that? Late 60s, early 70s. Can't imagine how hard it was to, you sell it and then you had to go back to the office and figure out a way to build it. And I was beating my head against the wall, and my boss brought in a guy from Chicago to spend a day with me. And my territory was Midtown Manhattan, so he spent the whole day with me. And after we went over the Pan Am building, bought me a drink, and then he gave me my diagnosis. He says, "You talk too much." Never forgot it. It hurt so bad, I never forgot it. But there's a big payoff to pain. Last year, I had the privilege of training a young group of salespeople, spent a day with them, got paid for it, gave them the benefit of my experience in this area. That was one of my points. You sell by listening, right, Dick? What do you want? I could just see Dick Van Leeuwen doing it now. What do you really want for your children, you know, when you're, and you build the need through listening. It was a good shot, right? Later I got into the management game. New in the job, 3 months. My boss called me in, gave me the diagnosis. "You got the wrong idea about management. Your job is to serve people." Wow, that's a new idea. I thought I was supposed to be making money and running over people to get it. He said, "No, you're not going to make it if you don't change." That hurt. Today I have the privilege of training leaders. Probably the most significant episode that I recall this week in preparation for today was been married 8 years. Was not going well at all. I was the problem. No doubt about it. I'd married a very functional woman from a functional family, and I was definitely the problem. One day the counselor knew me. He had me in a teachable moment. We're in the room, two little toddlers knocking at the door, trying to get in. You know, that was a long time ago. Two little kids trying to get in. He looked me in the eye and he said, "What's the matter, Chris? You're afraid we're going to find out who you really are?" Whoa! I got so mad at him, I almost belted him. But what a privilege to have truthful, effective diagnosis. And what a payoff. And what a payoff. Today, my wife and I are one in every sense of the word. It's only taken us about 31 years, and we're still working at it, believe me. Nobody arrives in this area, right? Men, today we're going to see the work of the master diagnostician. And let me tell you something. The payoff issues that he deals with us on have eternal weight. Open your scriptures to the third chapter of the Revelation. The revelation. What is it the revelation of? Right, Tom. Tom is becoming our resident theologian here up front, right? The revelation. Laodicea will be our last stop on a 7-city tour of the Roman province of Asia. We've been studying Christ's letters to his people in this province, which happened to be the territory that the Apostle John worried about at the end of the first century. John wrote this, but these are Jesus' letters to these seven groups of people in these seven cities in Asia Minor. Okay? So, Revelation 3, verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea. Laodicea is a very prosperous town. It's on the road to Colossae, which is the city that Paul wrote the book of Colossians to, right? From Philadelphia. When you go from Philadelphia to Colossae, you got to go through Laodicea. Paul mentions them, for instance, in his letter. Colossians in the fourth chapter. He says, when you read this letter, you Colossians, make sure you share it with the people in Laodicea. Look that up sometime. Okay? It's prosperous, as I pointed out. It's a banking city. It's a manufacturing center for black wool material. And they're noted for their medical work. They're noted for a special eye salve that they make for the eyes. Geographically, and keep this in mind because you'll see how Christ is going to play off this. Geographically, they are downstream from some hot springs upstream. And when the water gets to them in Laodicea, it's lukewarm. Keep this in mind, okay? Now, the people in Laodicea, what kind of people are they? They're proud. They're proud people. And they're self-sufficient. 30 years before this letter was written, they had a terrible earthquake, destroyed the whole city. Conquerors offered to come in and rebuild the city. They said, no, thank you. We can handle it ourselves. Man, are you starting to get the picture here? Huh? You're starting to get the picture? Do you think these people might be good candidates for a good diagnosis? Well, here he comes. Here comes the diagnostician. Okay? He said, these are the words. We're still in this 14th verse here. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So he's putting his credentials on the line here. He's the Amen. He's the Amen. When I say it, there's nothing left to say. Right? Isn't that what Amen is? Bob, you did a study on that one time. Bob Day's a big Amen guy. Because he did his homework. He knows what that word means. When you say Amen, there's nothing else to say. I recently, last few years, I've been struggling with some arthritis in my back. And I think I finally met the man that has been a big help to me. But anyway, I went to him, did all the tests, and then I had to come in for my diagnosis. And he gave me my program. And I'm looking at the program. I'm saying, but doctor, where's the coffee? Where's this? I won't mention some of the other things I was looking for on there. Where's the coffee? Okay? He looked me in the eye and he said, it's not on your program. And the look was, and the tone was, when I say it, that's it. He placed that note real good. Like, you want to be healthy? You listen to me, right? That's what an Amen is. That's what an Amen is. He never blinked. He never blinked. He says, Christ says, I'm the faithful and true witness. In other words, I am consistent. My words, my diagnosis works every time, Earl. Every time. And I'm the ruler of God's creation. If I created life, I love the way Peter in that second chapter, I think it is, of Acts, talks about Jesus as being the author of life. Man, the author of life. If I created life and I rule over God's creation, I must know how it should work, right? You better listen to me. Don't ignore me. If you do, it'll be at your peril. It's okay. He's got his credentials out here. Are you impressed? Huh? He's the Amen, he's the faithful and true witness, and he's the ruler over God's creation. Okay? Let's get down to business. Hang on. Here comes the pain. Take a deep breath. I have a friend in Orlando, Pat Morley, and this is not self-serving. I'll just say it anyway. We got him started in the ministry down there about 10, 12 years ago. John Creamer, Bogue, he and I spent a day, 2 days with Pat. Pat brought up a group, and they started a men's fellowship in Orlando. And today, now, it's a worldwide ministry. He's got a lot of ambition. He's not like me, you know. He's going for it. So, but anyway, he's a friend of mine, and I gave him the manual. I said, this is the way you're supposed to do it. Well, of course, being creative and entrepreneur, he immediately starts improvising, you know. So I came down to see how he was doing. He said, Chris, take a deep breath. Well, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, you Laodiceans. Take a deep breath. I know your deeds, he's saying. I know your deeds. You're sophisticated. You're gracious. Oh, how gracious you are. You're educated. You're healthy. You love the arts. Sports, probably, right? And you're religious. I know your deeds. But you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. Listen, if you were cold, I could help you. I could meet your need. I could save you if you're cold. And if you were hot, like those hot springs up the road here, you would be helpful to others. You could lead them to me. But you're neither. So, verse 16, here it comes, guys. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Can you imagine getting a letter? Now, these are God's people. Can you imagine getting a letter from the living Christ telling you that you nauseate him? That you were about to make him throw up. Can you imagine that? How would you feel if that happened? Are you terrified by the thought? You should be. We should be. Everybody should be. That's why these letters are written here. You know, Christ is not tiptoeing through the tulips the way he's portrayed by the media. No, he's tough. And he has high expectations for us. Okay? So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Okay. 17. You say, I am rich. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. Men, let me tell you something that I've come to understand. Be very careful about equating material well-being to a blessing from God. A lot of people have gotten into that habit. God has blessed me. He's blessed me. Well, let me tell you something. Very often it is adversity and pain which are needed to get our attention for eternity. You with me? Very often it's a pain that gets our attention. Okay? But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Can you imagine? You're known for your exquisite clothing, and Christ tells you you're naked. You're known for your eye medicine. Christ tells you you are blind. Christ says, I'm sorry, but my diagnosis is diametrically opposite from yours. You have wealth and power, but you have no Christ. And men, I just want to say this morning as we descend. Thank God that he tells us what we need to know, right? Huh? what we need to hear. And incidentally, that's proof, you know, that we're his sons. Because one of the proofs, one of the teachings of the New Testament is he proves to you that you're his son when he disciplines you. I'm disciplining my little 14-year-old. He's grounded until after Mother's Day lunch because of a little episode. Boy, I'm telling you, he doesn't like that grounding business. And of course, I say, now, why am I doing this, Joshua? Well, because I know, Dad, because you love me. You know? But the master diagnostician is also the master healer. And next time we get together, we will talk about how he gives these people a way back. He gives them a way back. Even these Laodiceans who receive no commendation whatsoever. They're the only one of the seven letters that get no commendation. Everybody else gets a little bit. They get none. Even to them, he offers hope. He hasn't quit on them. And we're going to pick up with this next time. But the challenge today is this. Do you want to be the man and the leader that God intends for you to be? Do you? Open yourself, men, up to him. This is an audible at the line of scrimmage. When I did that marital counseling many years ago, 25 years ago or so, 20 years ago, I said to this guy who hurt me, I'm telling you, he hurt me. And that's back when I used to, you know, I was a bigger mess than I care to realize. I'm still a mess, but I'm getting a little better. And I looked at him and I said, Howard, you know, you're really helping Suzanne and me. And he said, you know something, Chris? The difference between you and most people is most people won't ask for help. He said, at least you came and asked for help. He said, I can help a lot of people. It's whether or not you will open yourself, men, up to the Lord. Get with him. Let him put his stethoscope on your heart. And let me tell you, his greatest diagnostic tool is what? What is it? The Word of God working with His Holy Spirit in your life. Thank you, David. Recommit yourself to daily interaction with Him and His Word. Amen? Amen. Let's have prayer. Lord, I thank you for the pain. Thank you for loving us in a supernatural way, which is beyond feelings. Help us get above this therapeutic world that we live in. Get above it and get close to you and get your perspective, especially on our own lives, each man here. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.